Get fired up on the WFO line.
WFO, Joe.
954-889-6796.
It's just been an absolute joy to be a drag racing fan.
Go wide open, and your call may be used on the show.
Or preface by saying I'm not a Kurt Busch fan or apologist.
I don't know where Greg Anderson's ego is gone, but I know one person that's going to be a big-time villain in pro stock.
That's 954-889-6796. That phone line is always WFO.
We're joined by Martin Truex, our third place finisher. Jeff Magliocchetti, you want to kick us off with a question?
Sure. Hi, Martin. Congratulations on your third place finish today. You recover early from a lost tire early on. How proud are you of the resilience of your number 19 team out there today?
Oh, definitely, you know, happy, proud of everybody, and, you know, just not giving up on it, and, you know, really just battled back just like we did last week. So, yeah, you never like to have to go to the rear for us. It, you know, took us the first two stages. We were trapped a lap down, so that was tough, but good, obviously, recovery in stage three to, you know, get to the front and stay there, and, you know, I thought our auto owner's Camry was really fast. Felt good about that, and hopefully we can make a few tweaks to be a little better tomorrow.
What did you think of the choose rule today?
it was okay. I mean, it was interesting for sure to see, to see kind of how it all played out there. I don't know that it changed the race a whole lot, but, you know, it was interesting for sure. So, see how it plays out. You know, I think lane dominant that we've seen a lot of guys pick the outside, but, you know, a few guys were able to get the lead from the bottom as well. So pretty interesting how it worked out, and definitely learned some stuff for tomorrow.
Thanks, Martin. Congratulations.
All right, we're going to take our next question from Stephen Toronto. Thanks. Go ahead, Stephen.
Martin, in this race last year, drivers could catch the leader, but they couldn't pass him. Today we saw a lot more passing for the lead. I asked Kevin about that, and he mentioned that the application of PJ1 on the outside really created a third groove. Exactly how did you experience that, and how many options did you guys have in terms of different lanes?
Okay, and we have lost Martin, so hopefully he'll jump back on here in a minute. I think I see Martin again.
Hey, you got me?
Yeah, we have you a little bit better now. Sorry about that.
No, it's my fault. Sorry.
No problem. I don't even know who was asking questions. Whoever that was, if you want to take back over, I apologize.
Martin, you had started to answer my question. Do you need me to restate it at all?
I guess no. What I was saying about the track, I thought the track was really good. You know, obviously PJ1 lane gave us an option, but it wasn't just dominant to where everybody had the run there, which is what we've seen, you know, kind of in past races at certain tracks, you know, like Kentucky and Texas and, you know, a few other places. So it was definitely a really good option, but it wasn't always the one place to be, and you had other options as well, which that made the racing really good.
And Kevin actually said that with this current rules package and the racing surface today, he said that NASCAR is really close to getting the sort of racing that, quote unquote, everyone wants at Michigan. How do you feel about that? Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I would agree with that. You know, I think it's definitely definitely a good step. You know, we've seen a lot of passes for position today. And again, you know, we had, you know, three good grooves on the racetrack where you could make some speed. So, you know, I definitely thought it was a good race, and Michigan's a challenging place to, you know, to put on good racing because the speeds are so high. So definitely thought it was a good day for everyone there. And, you know, it was a fun race as well.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Our next question will come from Kelly Crandall. Go ahead, Kelly.
Thank you. Hey, Martin, the cut tire early on, you apologized for over the radio, said it was your fault. How frustrating is it with these cars that you really can't even make the slightest bit of contact with someone for fear of that? And how much does that change just how aggressive drivers are because they know you can't really use these cars up?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's frustrating when you make such a small mistake and have to pay, you know, such a big consequence. But, you know, I would say that in general, I've have been in that same situation many times. And I mean, I barely touched him on accident, obviously. And then, I must have just hit him in the perfect spot because it cut down my tire and then his. So, very, very slight contact. And, it's frustrating for sure. But I mean, you look at all the restarts at the end, you know, guys are banging into each other and, you know, the front and rear bumpers are pretty strong, so you can use those. So, really just side to side, contact could be, you know, could be a big deal if you mess up like I did. So, again, it was a mistake that it really cost us a lot of stage points and Reddick as well. So I hated that for him, that he was a victim of my mistake, but, I was surprised it happened, really. Really surprised, but fortunately we were able to overcome it.
When you do something like that and you take responsibility, feel it was a mistake, do you feel like you then have to almost like make it up to the team? Do you drive any harder? Are you mad? What's it like when it's so early in the race and you're already behind the eight ball?
It's not fun. You know, you don't want to ever be the guy that screws up. And, you know, last week we had an issue on a pit stop, had a tire get away and had to go to the back for that. So, I mean, it's, we win, we lose together. You know, we do this. Everybody makes mistakes from time to time. And, you know, whether it was last week with, you know, a pit stop issue or this week of, me having contact on the track, you just fight and claw as hard as you can all day long. I mean, until the race is over, you're giving, you know, everything you have for your team, your sponsors, everybody involved. And, that's no different. No matter the situation, what happened, it doesn't matter. You put it in the past, you move on.
All right, we'll take our next question from Jeff Magliocchetti. Go ahead, Jeff.
Oh, sorry, I asked my question already. Okay. Sorry.
No problem. We'll take our next question from Aaron Baird. And go ahead, Aaron.
Hey, Martin. Congrats on a good run today. Saw on a couple different late restarts, guys come from fifth, third, go to the inside with the choose rule and be able to hold it and get the lead for a brief time. Now that we're going back to the same track tomorrow with similar circumstances, do you think you might see more guys in second or third consider going straight down and trying it?
Yeah, I do. I think we definitely will. You know, the hard part about it is, if you are the guy that gets the front row, that's a pretty good spot. I just don't know that anybody really wants to be third because, what we've seen today, usually the guy that picked that third spot, which is second row on the bottom, was fifth on back, you know, coming to the choose cone. And problem with starting third is you have to, you know, try to push the guy in front of you, get him going, try to push him to the lead to give yourself a chance. And then you're stuck on the bottom by yourself off of two down the backstretch. So it's just a really, really tough spot to be in. Obviously some guys made it work. I had one opportunity to try it and I didn't take it because I felt like, you know, we were probably not quite as fast on the straightaway as I thought we needed to be to be able to make that position work. So, I don't know. I think tomorrow I may try it. We'll see if we're in that position again.
Yeah, you already kind of hinted maybe at the answer to my second question, but do you guys know where you might be behind Kevin? I feel like everybody was kind of behind the four car today. Do you guys kind of know what you might need to work on going into tomorrow?
I think we have some ideas of ways to help our car do the things we need it to do. I don't know that we can get all the way there, to be honest with you. I mean, typically if you look at, you know, past history here with this package, I mean, you know, those guys really excel on tracks like this where you need low drag and high horsepower and things like that. So they've got a really good combination that the tracks where you can get away with doing that. I would say that for us, it's not been our strongest suit, being these really fast tracks. I think our cars are just inherently draggy, and we pay the price a little bit more, I think, than most guys at the fast tracks. So I don't know. We'll see. We're going to try for sure and give it all we got. And I know everybody back at our shop works incredibly hard and does a lot of things to try to, make us the best cars out there. And I think we're really close. I thought our car was was really, really fast today. And, you know, maybe not as fast as the four, but pretty dang close. And I didn't see anybody better. So if we can gain on it a little bit, maybe we can give them a run for their money tomorrow.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Ozzy, did you still have a question? Okay, we'll come back to him if he does, but we'll take our final question then from Dustin Abraham. Go ahead, Dustin.
Yeah, Mark, congrats on the good run today. Kind of right off that question, you've got three straight top fives now, led more laps in the first half of the season than this past half. From a speed aspect, where would you gauge where the 19 team is at right now?
You know, I think I would say that in general, you know, we've been top three every single race except for Bristol. You know, our cars are strong. Our team is really doing a great job bringing fast cars. And, you know, I felt like Texas, Kentucky, a lot of these places that we've been, I feel like we've been good enough to win, you know. And today we were right there again as well. So with no practice or anything, I feel like the guys are doing a good job of getting the cars where we need them to be. We certainly would like to have more wins and feel like we maybe should have a few more, but that's racing and that's how it goes. But really proud of the effort, and obviously, you know, stringing together some top three finishes has been good. And especially when you finish, you know, third and you feel like underachieved, that's a good feeling to have as far as good about things. And, you know, we're consistent is what we need to be. So feel good about it. And hopefully we can continue to find little things that will make us faster.
Cool. Thanks, Martin.
Thank you.
All right, Martin. Well, thank you so much for joining us. And congratulations on the finish. And we'll see you back at Michigan tomorrow.
Sounds good. Thank you all. Appreciate it.
Safe travels.
You too.
How about that, y'all?
All right, Brad. You can hear me okay?
Yes, ma'am.
All righty. Well, thank you for waiting there. Congratulations on the second place finish. I know it wasn't the one at your home track, but walk us through that final overtime there.
Yeah, we got a good launch and, you know, just not quite strong enough to keep up with Kevin. He was really fast and, you know, I got a little tight. Just couldn't really do anything there, but gave it my best, and I'm proud of my team for the effort we put in today and this weekend, but just one spot short.
All right. Well, we're going to open up the floor to the media for questions. As a reminder, if you do have a question for Brad, please click the participants tab and raise your hand or send me a chat. We're going to kick it off with Jeff Gluck. Go ahead, Jeff.
Hey, Brad, I know you don't like double file restarts to begin with, but since they do exist, do you like how the choose rule played into them today?
Yeah, there were parts I liked and there were parts I didn't like. I'm kind of agnostic, to be honest. You know, I thought at the front, it seemed to be a little fun, you know, something kind of different. It's one of those things where I think it's just, you know, when you eat chocolate, you want vanilla sometimes. It just felt different, and different was kind of fun. There were other parts where, you know, I was kind of a little questioning about it. So, you know, overall, I'm kind of neutral on it, Jeff.
Thanks.
No problem.
All right, we'll take our next question from Aaron Barrington. Go ahead, Aaron.
Hey, Brad, congrats on a good run today. Talking about that choose rule, we had guys come from fifth, third, et cetera, on the inside and be able to take the lead. Do you think going back into the race tomorrow at the same place, you'll see more guys in second or third consider diving down and testing the inside lane?
It's possible. You know, it's just a different dynamic for sure and opens up some different opportunities. We're all kind of learning together how that plays out. And, you know, this was a first time on a bigger track or a 550 rules package track that we've seen this. And so, you know, it definitely changed a little bit of the race. I'm not confident to say whether it was better or worse. It just felt a little bit different to me. But it should feel different. That's kind of the point. If it wasn't a little different, then why would we do it? You know, I thought there were times when it was interesting. There were times where I was kind of like, I don't know. So overall, like I said, I'm kind of agnostic.
Do you guys know where you feel like you were trailing Harvick today? He was so strong. Is there anything you guys can pick up to try to beat him tomorrow?
Yeah, he just runs through the straightaway so fast, and he's pretty much equal to where we are in the corners. So, you know, they just really got it dialed in right now.
Thank you.
No problem.
All right, our next question is going to come from Zach Sterniola.
Brad, congrats on the run today. Is it more rewarding or is it frustrating to finish second here when this has been so top on your priority list for the last, for your whole career?
Well, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and complain about it. I could be sitting 35th right now and with a wadded up race car. So it certainly beats that. But, you know, I've heard this analogy over and over again that when you go to the Olympics, the best thing that can happen to you is you win the gold. And the worst thing that can happen to you is not that you don't place or not that you face or place with a bronze. It's when you get silver, because silver is when you knew you were so close to, you know, the guy who gets bronze or the woman who gets bronze, they're just happy because they got a medal. Of course, the person who gets gold, they're happy because they got gold. But it's the person with the silver medal that sits there and wonders because they know they were so close to their goal and their dream. So, yeah, I mean, in some ways, there's some pain in that because you can see it, you can taste it, you can feel it. You know you're right there. In other ways, I try to remain reflective and positive about, you know, the overall positive day that we had.
That said, is it encouraging then for tomorrow's race?
Oh, absolutely. There's a lot of cars that I thought we were pretty equal to. Maybe a touch better, maybe a touch worse, depending on who you ask. And we beat all those guys. But at no time did I think us or anyone else was better than the four.
Thanks very much.
No problem.
All right, our next question will come from Taylor with M Live. Go ahead.
Hi, Brad. Approaching that last restart there, you guys knew that Kevin Harvick had one of the best cars. What did you think that you needed to do, and what would you maybe do differently if you had one more shot at it?
Well, I actually was watching the replay when you guys logged in just to see that, and I had like three ideas, and I watched the replay, and none of them would have worked. So at the moment, there's nothing I feel like I could have done differently other than just be a little faster, have a little more speed. So kind of stuck right there, Taylor.
All right, Brad. Well, it looks like that's all we got for you. Oh, actually, we have one last question. Go ahead, Ozzy.
Hey, Brad. With the Daytona Road Course coming up and Team Penske just having a wide swath of different cars, have you leaned on anybody in the organization from the IMSA side, or have you guys been kind of doing any type of training in that fashion?
Yeah, those cars are so much different that the Team Penske IMSA drivers run that. I'm not sure that there's anything I could really take away from that. But, you know, I think in some forms, we're all expecting it to rain because we're going to run the race in Florida at 3 or 4 o'clock in August. I think it's like a 99.9% chance it'll rain. And there's no simulator and no practice that simulates that. So it's kind of like,
Just giving it up to chance. You
know, yeah, there's not a lot we're going to do.
Okay, thank you.
No problem.
All right, Brad. Well, now I'm going to let you go. Thank you so much for taking the time.
No problem.
Congratulations, and hopefully we'll see you back on here again tomorrow.
Thank you.
Well, we're now joined by our race-winning crew chief, Rodney Childers. Rodney, can you just talk us through your strategy here, getting three out of the last four races here you guys have won. So what is it about this track?
Yeah, I mean, Michigan's just always been a great place for us as a team. I feel like, too, it's always been a great place for me, you know, looking back at what I was able to learn here in 2012 and 2013 after the repave with Mark Martin. And, you know, you look at all the races since then, and we've been right there and been able to win one about every year that we've been here. You know, we gave quite a few away, it seems like, in 14 and 15. But overall, we've had great cars the last couple of years and able to capitalize on that. You know, Kevin gets around here really good. But our whole team is just doing a great job this year. Our pit crew has really stepped it up and made a ton of difference for us. And, you know, you never know when your last one's going to be, but they're always a lot of fun, and we enjoy winning them, that's for sure.
Awesome. Well, we're going to take a couple questions for you, and we know you have to get back to the garage. So we're going to kick it off with Jeff Gluck. Go ahead, Jeff.
So, Rodney, with the choose cone strategy or the choose rule, like, you know, the race team has so much input in you know, when to pit and all that kind of stuff, and are you more leaving that decision up to Kevin and what he wants to do? How do you guys approach that kind of strategy?
Yeah, I mean, Kevin and Timmy are kind of handling that on their own. And then, you know, if they ask my opinion on something, then I chime in at that point. But, you know, honestly, this was a great place to start that, in my opinion. It gave us all a lot of options on what we could do. You saw some guys that maybe, you know, wasn't in the top three cars and able to take a shot at starting on the front row. And but, you know, I've also been here and had a car that I thought was the best car and didn't win because we ended up in the wrong lane over and over and over. So I think it was a great addition this week and a great job by NASCAR. But, you know, I liked it. But, you know, like I said, Kevin, he's been around here a long time, and he's good enough to make his own decisions when it comes to that.
Thank you.
All right, we'll take our next one from Zach Sterniolo. Go ahead, Zach.
Rodney, congratulations on this one. You hit on it already, but this has been a great track for you dating back to the Michael Waltrip Racing days. Is there anything about this place that you've noticed suits your style, or what do you think it is that has allowed you to build fast cars for this place?
Yeah, I mean, I think racetracks like this, you know, the fast ones and a lot of throttle time, those are the ones that suit us as a team right now. You know, the 550 tracks where there's just a lot of throttle time and long straightaways, big racetracks, that's really where we excel. You know, today was the same car that we had for the Brickyard 400, and I think we all, you know, were impressed with the speed that it had at the Brickyard and what we were able to do there, and it was the same way today. It's definitely been a good one for us, and excited to hopefully get to show it tomorrow and start back there and see how it does in traffic.
And just a quick follow-up. I know, if I remember correctly, you won the first race of the doubleheader at Pocono as well. What kind of things did you learn then that you can apply going into tomorrow's race in kind of resetting up the winning car?
Yeah, I was, you know, I was honestly thinking about that during the race. And Pocono, we maybe didn't have the best car that first day when we won, but you know, we felt like we actually made our car better going into day two. And right now, I don't know how we could make our car better going into tomorrow. So that's kind of where we're at. I think we'll probably start with what we had today and see what it does marred back there in traffic. I heard a lot of guys today from different teams saying that their cars were really loose and out of the racetrack back there in traffic, and we heard some guys talking about they were too tight back there in traffic. So it's kind of hard to judge off of other people, and so we're just going to, you know, hopefully roll with what we have and go from there.
Thank you.
Yep.
All right, Rodney. Well, we're going to let you go back into the garage. Congratulations on the win, and good luck tomorrow.
Yeah, thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Yep. All right, Kevin. Sorry about that. Thanks for joining us. We're now joined by our race winner, Kevin Harvick, driver of the number 4 Busch Light Apple Ford for Stuart Haas Racing. Kevin, you just dominated today. Can you walk us through your day? How you feeling getting the victory?
Well, anytime we come to Michigan, since I've been at Stuart Haas Racing, these cars have been just lightning fast. And it's definitely a place that we feel like we should come up here and contend for the win. And you know, today our Busch Light Apple Ford Mustang was just on rails, could go bottom, top, middle, was fast down the straightaway, would do everything that you wanted to do. Just got challenged by a whole bunch of restarts at the end that made it kind of crazy. But in the end, it was a great day for us. Everybody did a great job, called a great race, and we capitalized on a fast car and put it in victory lane.
Awesome. Well, we are going to open up the floor to the media for questions. As a reminder, if you have a question for Kevin, please click the participants tab and raise your hand or send me a chat and we will get to you. Let's kick it off with Jeff Gluck. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, Kevin, I'm just wondering your impressions of how the choose rule worked today. What did you see? What did you like about it? What did you not like about it?
Well, I think that the best thing about it is they had a race with it yesterday with the truck series, made a lot of adjustments or, you know, a few adjustments this morning to the process. And I thought it went well today. You know, I think it definitely gave some guys a chance that to, you know, were kind of buried eighth or ninth. And I think the 9 car was one of those and wound up racing for the win. So it definitely, a lot to think about right there and definitely some processes that you have to go through. And, But you can take a chance and gain some track position. And I thought it went well and did exactly what everybody thought it would do.
All right, we're going to take our next question from Bob Hawkers. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, Kevin, along those lines, there was a point where Rodney said, you know, you make the choice pretty much. I'm with you either way. Is that type of decision pretty much a driver choice, or do you want any sort of input before you make that choice?
Well, we talked about it before the race and had kind of a number in my mind of you know, how many spots that you would gain, you know, before you went to the bottom. I think for us, a lot of it depended on at the end, you know, when I could have started fourth or could have started first on the inside. You know, for me, it was which car I wanted to race and which car I wanted to push. And I felt like, you know, my best opportunity to get the 9 back was on the restart and capitalize on that. And it wound up working out. I felt like he could run fast enough once we got strung out to be more difficult to pass than some of the other cars. So I thought if I was going to race the 9, that I needed to pass him right off the bat.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to take our next question from Jeff Magliocchetti. Go ahead, Jeff.
Hi, Kevin. Congratulations on the win. Your 54th career victory ties you with Lee Petty on the NASCAR all-time list and moves you into the top 10. What can you say about, you know, how this post-stretch has been for you and what it means to be in the same sentence, in the same breath, as a NASCAR legend like Lee?
Yeah, well, that's a lot of pressure. And, you know, I ask myself that all the time. It's, you know, what have you done for the sport? What are you doing for the sport? Because when you start talking about Junior Johnson and Lee Petty and Rusty Wallace and, you know, Ned Jarrett, or, you know, who, all those guys that are on that list, you know, around my name on the win list, you know, there's a lot of responsibility that comes with that, you know, for our sport. So, you know, I think as you look at, you know, that number, I've been fortunate to drive a lot of really fast race cars, and we've been fortunate to be successful throughout the years. But, you know, when you start getting up there with those names and those icons in our sport, they've been a part of, you know, a lot of big moments and helping change the sport in a positive direction. So, you know, that's the way I look at it and the responsibility that I think I have.
Rusty Wallace is next. Thank you, Kevin. Congratulations.
All right, we'll take our next question from Jordan Bianchi. Go ahead, Jordan.
Kevin, I wanted to look ahead a little bit to Daytona Road Course. NASCAR said there's no practice there. What are your thoughts on having no practice for that race, a track that no one's ever raced on before?
I think it'll be interesting. I have no clue what I'm doing. The last time I only made a little bit of a 2002 24-hour race. So it's been a long time since I made any laps there. I'm a week of preparation guy. So I'll start Monday and Tuesday on iRacing just to get acclimated with the track. We'll go to the simulator on Wednesday, back on iRacing Thursday, Friday, Saturday, just to make sure that it's fresh in your mind so you know where to shift and things like that. And then it's just a trial and error after that. So, you know, I've watched enough races there that I know the racetrack in my mind, but I don't know where our cars need to be and what gear I need to be in. So I'll learn that next week, and we'll be ready and hopefully have a good day.
Are you okay with no practice? Are you okay with that decision?
I love everything that we're doing right now. I think, you know, the shorter schedules, I think it mixes it up. It makes it exciting. I voted for 1 through 36 random draw every week, but I see we're going to do something different than that. I think that would really mix it up. So all charter teams should be random draw every week, all the way through the end.
Thank you.
All right. Our next question will come from Zach Sterniolo. Go ahead, Zach.
Kevin, congrats on this. I'm curious, you talked about how fast you've been here since joining SHR. How big of a part of this has Rodney Childers been? Because I remember he had built fast cars for Michael Waltrip Racing as well. So what has he meant for you here specifically?
You know, it's just been a racetrack that fits our engine package, especially since we've come to Ford. You know, Doug Yates and his group put a lot of effort into running well at this racetrack, because for the Ford Motor Company, they want that Heritage Trophy in their lobby. So it means a lot to the Ford Motor Company. Our race cars right now, with this rules package and the way that the aero is and any other rules package for that matter, you know, have just been really, really fast at Michigan. So we come here expecting to be competitive for the win, and you know, today was no different, and hopefully tomorrow's the same way.
Thank you.
Yep.
All right, our next question will come from Aaron Berdin. Go ahead, Aaron.
Hey, Kevin, congrats. I got two quick ones for you. First of all, this race was a little bit shorter, a little bit quicker than we've normally seen at Michigan. I think it's a little over 2.5 hours for you guys. How did that compare to a quote-unquote normal race here? Did you notice any difference? Did you like the shorter format?
I didn't notice any difference. You know, I think shorter races obviously make things happen a little more frantically. It really makes the pitch strategy kind of mix things up. The stages happen quick, and then you add in the competition caution. So there's just a number of things that happen a lot quicker. From inside the car, it didn't really seem any different, but I'm all for shorter races.
Okay. And then part two, you know, the last couple years, this August weekend's kind of been like your boys' weekend with Keelan here. What's it like this weekend not having him here, still winning the race, but is it different when you have that tradition with him there?
Yeah, it kind of sucks. You know, we always, you know, for the last couple of years, we've spent the whole summer together by ourselves traveling to the races. So this year we've traveled by ourselves to go-kart races. So we've been racing, but, you know, he misses coming to the racetrack. I miss having him at the racetrack. He asked me to have a cardboard cutout made of him so that I could put him in the side of the car if we won. So maybe he knew something that I didn't, but I thought that would be a little bit cocky just because of the fact if you had the cutout made thinking you're going to win it and throw it in the side. So he has some random ideas.
Thanks, Kevin.
All right, we'll take our next question from Brandon with Lap Traffic Podcast.
Hey, Kevin, congrats on the win. Two quick ones for you. Is Michigan starting to feel like your East Coast playground? And what are your thoughts starting 20th tomorrow?
Yeah, you know, I think, like I said earlier, Michigan's been a great racetrack for us, and we look forward to coming here every time. So it has been a lot of fun for us. Starting 20th, I think it's great. You know, I think our car is capable of passing people. We just need to, you know, get as many as we can before that first stage and go from there.
Thanks, Kevin. Good luck tomorrow.
All right, and our final question for you, Kevin's going to come from Steven Toronto. Go ahead, Steven.
Kevin, in this race last year, you could see that cars could catch the leader, but they couldn't pass him. This year, there was a lot more passing for the lead. What do you think contributed to that?
Well, I think NASCAR did a really good job of making that third lane available, you know, so you had options as a driver to move your car around and really make things happen. So I think getting that third lane right with the PJ1 really made Michigan in the race here, especially with this rules package, just, you know, way better from a driver's standpoint. So we're getting close to having the races that everybody wants here. I thought today was a good race. And I think having multiple lanes is really what it's all about.
Thank you.
All right, Kevin. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Congratulations, and we'll see you at the road course.
Thank you, guys.
This is WFO Radio.
Subscribe to WFO Radio on iTunes. Never miss a show. And don't forget to write a review. WFO.